Hey audience, hope you all are doing good and enjoying the back to normal life as the economy opens up in most part of the world. As for me, I'm multitasking between my work commitments, kids, YouTubing occasionally, and definitely enjoying the podcasting bandwagon so far. As you all know, my podcast mainly revolves around topics that are currently gaining momentum in the energy world. Undoubtedly, there are tremendous resources to read and gain the energy insights from, but I would like to use the power of active listening and share these insights with you all. So my dear audience, tighten your seatbelt as I do the reading and assembling part and bring the pertinent energy facts and insights ready for your ears to enjoy. I can bet you that sparing the 20 minutes, you will leave being more energy focused. On a side note, the scope of this podcast is strictly for knowledge sharing purposes and not necessarily to provide any advice or recommendation to the audience or listeners, and not in any way I attract any liability for any inconsistency or irregularity in terms of the accuracy. So with that background, let's talk energy with Rocky. The topic for today's session is role of LNG and hydrogen in the energy transition. Apologies for any background noises that you might hear as I record my podcast from home with my two kids around all the time. So recently I had the privilege to be the chairwoman of the First American Hydrogen Forum and also spearhead some panel discussions in the Second American LNG Forum organized by the ALG group, which was held in Houston. It was an in-person event. It was indeed very uplifting and enriching to participate with several industry experts and market leaders in the two events and take a deeper dive into the hydrogen and LNG portfolio offerings. As for me, after spending almost two decades in the energy industry, with my major time spent in the LNG industry, personally, I find it very exciting to understand the interconnections between LNG and hydrogen and how the two fuel sources can tremendously contribute in the energy transition prospects. I just thought it would be a brighter idea to share the insights that I gained from the exciting line of presentations and panel discussions covered in these forums with you all. So the focus of this podcast is to share an overview on the current market outlook of hydrogen, different shades of hydrogen, and the emerging trends within the hydrogen economy, the sustainability barriers for hydrogen, and of course, the interconnections that exist between hydrogen and LNG as future fuels. To give a little bit of background and context to all this, I would first talk about the reason behind what has triggered the global initiative of energy transition. And it is nothing but the major challenge that the world is facing with climate change. Nevertheless, it is also promising to see several advocates who are working at the forefront to bring the objectives set by the Paris Agreement and Hydrogen Council to fruition. In 2015, the global community committed themselves to substantially reduce global greenhouse gas emissions by limiting the global temperature increase for the century well below 2 degrees Celsius compared to the pre-industrial levels. That was the main objective set by the Paris Agreement established in 2015. 2 years later, in 2017, the first Hydrogen Council was launched in Davos. Hydrogen Council was a unique global initiative which reinforced the prospects of bringing hydrogen to mainstream and making it a dominant portion of the future energy mix. Thanks to these phenomenal industry-led initiatives that eventually has triggered a lot of momentum for hydrogen within the USA as well. And subsequently, it is encouraging to see that the Biden administration is optimistically supporting the growth of hydrogen as a clean fuel source. Just 2 weeks back, the new Energy Earthshots initiative was unveiled by the U.S. Secretary of United States, Jennifer Granholm. Under the Energy Earthshots initiative, Jennifer Granholm called for an all-hands-on-deck call for innovation, collaboration, and acceleration for scaling of production, storage, delivery, and end use of clean hydrogen within the USA. The first hydrogen energy shot seeks to reduce the cost of clean hydrogen by 80% to $1 per kilogram in the coming decade. Achieving these targets will indeed help America tackle the climate crisis and more quickly reach the Biden-Harris administration's goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050, while creating good-paying union jobs and growing the economy at the same time. So in the grand scheme, we all are convinced that hydrogen plays a pivotal role in the carbon neutrality that each one of us seek to achieve in different industrial sectors. But at the same time, as advocates of this energy source, it is pertinent for us to understand the portfolio offerings, drivers, barriers, policies, socioeconomic assessments, cost competitiveness, and emerging trends and technologies that exist within the hydrogen sector to support the carbon neutrality and net zero focus globally. So with that background, let's first understand what are the different shades of hydrogen that we have in the marketplace. So I'll start with gray hydrogen. Gray hydrogen is the hydrogen that is produced using the fossil fuels, primarily by steam reforming, methane reforming, SMR, or coal gasification. The use of gray hydrogen, of course, entails a substantial CO2 emissions, which makes these hydrogen technologies unsuitable for the route towards net zero emissions. The second type of color shade of hydrogen is the blue hydrogen. Blue hydrogen is nothing but the gray hydrogen with the carbon capture and storage, or interchangeably it is also called carbon capture and sequestration, attached to it. The other shade of hydrogen is the turquoise hydrogen. Turquoise hydrogen combines the use of, again, a natural gas as feedstock with CO2 production. It involves a simple process of pyrolysis by which the carbon in the methane becomes solid carbon black. There is a market that exists for carbon black already, which definitely provides an additional revenue stream. But at this moment, the turquoise hydrogen is still at the pilot stage. Among the different shades of hydrogen, another one we have is the green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen produced from renewable energy, and it is the most suitable one for a fully sustainable energy transition. The most established technology option for producing green hydrogen is, of course, electrolysis of water, fueled by renewable electricity. This technology gains the major focus when we talk about net zero prospects and energy transition, as there is no carbon at all produced with this production route. Now, coming back to the blue hydrogen again, as I mentioned previously, blue hydrogen is nothing but gray hydrogen with carbon capture and storage, CCS, attached to it. Now, this hydrogen has a lot of potential to facilitate the growth of hydrogen market, because around 3/4 of the hydrogen is currently being produced from natural gas worldwide. So when deploying the blue hydrogen, it might be great to consider the opportunities like retrofitting with CCS, how this shade would allow the continued use of existing assets while still achieving lower GHG emission goals. Secondly, how this hydrogen shade would help us to reduce the GHG emissions while also reducing the pressure on the extensive use of renewable energy sources, which the green hydrogen hugely relies on. And hence, thinking more in the direction how blue hydrogen could cater as a transitional shade until the green hydrogen becomes mainstream, especially within the regions where sequestration sites are easily accessible and available. Again, I'm not there yet to bolster my support for a particular shade of hydrogen out of the gray, blue, turquoise, or green. But at the same time, I'm also convinced that only one particular shade of hydrogen will not successfully capture the major market share. It will be the distributed hydrogen deployment methodology and technologies that will be pivotal in the coming years. Geographic locations with more accessible renewable energy sources would pivot more towards green hydrogen, but locations which do not have cheaper renewables accessibility and are greatly connected with natural gas pipelines could utilize the prospects of blue hydrogen more by looking at the carbon capture and sequestration prospects. In a nutshell, each shade of hydrogen has its own offerings, and as advocates of this fuel source, it is our responsibility that we remain unbiased and keep an open mind towards each shade as per the end use application of that shade, which will help us to contribute more meaningfully towards carbon neutrality to support the energy transition prospect. Personally, if you ask me, I share the same approach that was reiterated by Jillian Ivanko, a CEO of Chart Industries, in the American Hydrogen Forum, that it would be better to be colorblind towards the different shades of hydrogen. Can't agree more with you on that, Jill, because every shade of hydrogen has its specific offering that tremendously depends on the geographic deployment location. So the dynamics of the specific market will play a pivotal role. One shade that works for a certain geographic location may not work for another location at all, based on the stringent cost competitiveness of the raw materials and limited deployment opportunities. In the same context, I would also like to briefly discuss and touch upon the role of gas, more precisely the role of LNG. In fact, the more I think about the shades of hydrogen, the wider my perspective becomes on the interconnections that exist between LNG and hydrogen and how we can leverage the portfolio offerings of both the fuels optimally in the interim future to achieve a sustainable ecosystem. The most pragmatic way ahead for us to successfully achieve the energy transition goals would be to look for possible ways to use the two fuels interchangeably per the end use application and of course the geographic deployment location, or for the options to optimally integrate the LNG and hydrogen industry. For example, for the marine industry or the hard to decarbonize heavy industry, hydrogen is likely to be a dominant fuel, but only at a later stage. But in the interim and near future, LNG would be the mainstream fuel and the first choice. This will ensure the marine sector still reduce cumulative emissions now, while hydrogen is still being commercially developed and at scale. Because any fuel is going to take time to test, commercialize and scale up. Even if the sector pushes to do so that as quickly as possible, still it will take time. Undoubtedly, LNG is the lowest emission fuel available at scale in the shipping sector today. And I believe it has no near rival in this regard. If you see the numbers, LNG reduces the greenhouse gases by up to 23% on a well-to-wake basis and up to 30% on a tank-to-wake basis compared with current oil-based marine fuels. LNG-fueled vessels emit virtually no SOx, SOx, while dramatically limiting the emissions of NOx. And LNG also virtually eliminates the particulate matters at the PM. My intent of citing this one example around marine industry from the very many that exist for the end use application is to present a case study to re-emphasize on the fact that as advocates of LNG and hydrogen, we'll have to pick and choose and make a cognizant decision between LNG and hydrogen-based hydrogen fuels based on the type of the industry we plan to decarbonize, the end-use application, scalability, cost competitiveness, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, the geographic deployment location for that fuel source. Similarly, for a few developing countries where 1/4 of the population still does not have access to electricity for 24/7, it would be highly unlikely to roll out hydrogen as a mainstream fuel because of the challenges around the cost competitiveness. So That's what I think, you know, and that's the my brain dump on using LNG and hydrogen interchangeably. Now, coming back to the hydrogen, undoubtedly, hydrogen industry has evolved leaps and bounds in past 5 years, and still has tremendous potential that still needs to be unleashed. Per Hydrogen Council in 2020, the global hydrogen production stood approximately 70 million metric tons, with 76% being produced from grey and blue hydrogen. The global demand for hydrogen is projected to be more than double by 2030. And globally, the hydrogen project portfolio is expected to exceed $300 billion by the end of 2030. The whopping $300 billion investment consists of 228 large-scale hydrogen projects announced across the entire hydrogen value chain, with most of them in Europe, Asia, and Australia. And out of the 228 projects, 17 are already announced giga-scale renewable green hydrogen production projects, with the biggest in Europe to meet the needs of 40 gigawatt of renewable electrolyzer capacity by 2030. Of course, Europe leads in the number of announced hydrogen projects, but at the same time, it is very promising to see that over 30 countries have announced their hydrogen-specific strategies and initiatives. Globally, governments have already pledged more than $70 billion to support these initiatives as of today in the form of mature projects. So with these promising market trends and unwavering support from the market leaders, it's encouraging to see that we are already in the path of energy transformation, with hydrogen as one of the prominent fuel sources. But the million-dollar question is, between hydrogen and LNG, what would be the major portion of the pie in the coming decades? What do you think will be mainstream in the future energy mix between the two? If you ask me, from the extensive literature and global energy data that I have gleaned, I feel although both the hydrogen and LNG are unique in their offerings as a sustainable fuel source, nevertheless, I'm somewhat convinced that the fastest pathway to net zero in the nearest term with the lowest total emissions will be the accelerated adoption of LNG with widespread use of energy efficient technologies and, of course, implementation of the carbon offset projects within the LNG value chain. And secondly, by deploying the blue hydrogen with CCS wherever it is possible. Green hydrogen is definitely picking up, and going forward, no doubt that it will definitely pick up more. But until then, LNG and blue hydrogen with CCS can be considered as a transitional fuel in the near term, while we develop the fuel cells extensively and make ourselves ready to transition directly into zero emissions fuel in the future, maybe by 2030. But again, that's just my view and my perspective. I would definitely like to hear your views, your perspective in this. So with this positive note, I would like to conclude my talk for today and would thank all the listeners for trusting me and my opinion. If you find this 25-minute brain dump of mine interesting, feel free to circulate it in your network and do write to me at energyinsightwithrocky@gmail.com. I would be more than happy to hear your perspective, and I promise to take your suggestions on topic for my future podcast. Hope to catch up with you soon with some new and interesting energy insights. Until then, bye and stay safe. And before going, I would just advise you that do think about the fuel of the future that will help us to achieve a sustainable tomorrow. Thank you.